Hello and well, I don't even have the energy to fucking do that. I am so damn beat. This is your exhausted SGR coffee break, of which the coffee is a lie. All the things I tell you about drinking coffee and it'll wake you up, complete and utter bullshit. Doesn't work. I've been like crunching coffee grounds trying to wake back up after my, what was it, like a week and a half of freaking travel. Craziness, Carrie. Craziness.
Well, sounds like that's your problem. Your own fault.
Don't even start with me, Carrie.
Brought it on yourself.
I will boot you. I can do this whole show by myself. It probably wouldn't even be nearly as entertaining.
And it'll last like what, 5 minutes?
Probably.
Like Blake's podcast he used to do by himself.
Yes, and that has been your SGR coffee break for the week of 10-1. This has been episode 36. Check you out later. Peace.
Good show.
Good show. Bravo. Actually, we are going to be talking this week about Twitch TV and its impact on the video game culture. For those that may not even know, Twitch TV is a video game streaming. Well, it started off as a video game streaming service. Actually, it started off as Justin TV, which I think you could like stream anything you wanted. And then Justin TV kind of went away, became Twitch TV. They had a lot of growing pains to start with, but they've seemed to really get things out. And it, man, Twitch has become like a massive force in the video game culture. Not only because, you know, you get people like, you know, PewDiePie or CoCarnage or, you know, pick your favorite League of Legends player or your favorite fighting game pro player. All of these people pretty much stream on Twitch. And a lot of people now are actually making a living by streaming on Twitch. Granted, you know, some people would say that's not work because they're just playing video games and streaming. But keep in mind that most people that make a living on Twitch don't ever take a day off. And they stream, you know, anywhere from 6 to 12 hours a day. So Twitch has become,
plus they have to be entertaining that entire time.
Oh yeah. I've definitely, you know, there's been a lot of people on Twitter that have been like, I'm thinking about streaming, and you go to their stream and like they don't talk, you don't ever see them. It's so boring, and it's just like, I don't even know why you're trying, dude. If you're gonna try streaming to Twitch, at least be entertaining. That's why, you know, people come to see gameplay. They're coming for tips. I know that I've watched StarCraft 2 streamers. I've watched a lot of Street Fighter streamers just to get, you know, little tips as they're playing along. So, yeah. But, Carrie, like, you really don't watch Twitch TV, do you? You watched it for a fighting game thing.
Yeah, I watched it that one time for the fighting game streams. But you know, I mean, that was almost kind of like, you know, watching it. A TV show, like a tournament, because, you know, you had sports sports commentators. It was, you know, constant action, things going in and out. And so it didn't really feel like a real video game stream. I did watch Loot Crate stream because I'm getting pressure to start my own stream at work, and I don't want to do it without a plan. Even though everyone's like, no, you can't go in with a plan. You just have to, like, you know, it'll become something. Like, well, that's great. It can become something, but I got to go in with a plan. And then it can become something from the plan. I can't just go in and be like, hey, here I am. Because I know I'll just sit there and say nothing because I don't really talk when I play. And I've watched some friends of mine, you know, because when PlayStation 4 came out, they made streaming really, really easy. So Twitch got inundated with these streams. And I watched some of my friends play, and I'm like, dude, I can't take watching you play because you don't say anything, or, you know, it's just, I know, because even like if I'm with my friends and I'm watching them play, we're talking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so me just kind of sitting there and just watching somebody play without, you know, hearing any talking or anything. I mean, at least like, you know, Prima Games, when they started streaming, they were kind of rough at first too, but they've gotten a lot better because basically what they do is their stuff is oriented towards, you know, strategy guide tips. So like when they, I think the last stream I really watched, this was a while ago, it was Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to show how, they basically were showing how hard it was to get, I think, all the letters. have to try to get in the levels, and they're kind of showing like how, and like at one point, like he played this one part over and over again, trying to get this letter. He said, yeah, fuck it. You can see how hard it is, but he's like, so, but at least like I have it listed in the guide how to do it, but it takes practice, you know? So, but you know, like, again, they've come in with a plan. And so I watched Loot Crate, it's interesting because I've only watched Amanda and Candace do it, and they really sit and talk to the commenters more than anything. And it's more like the way that they play is that they have the commenters kind of direct them what they're doing. Like Amanda did a Dragon Age Inquisition, and she's like, I'm going to start with this character. We're going to do this. Where do you guys want to go? And they would, you know, tell her. So it was more like an interactive thing. And I think a lot of people were there just because of the questions that were being asked. They were hoping to get free loot crates because they kept asking about great giveaways. And she'd have to say like almost about every 2 minutes, no, I don't have any to give away. And then you'd watch the count drop on the views. And
hell yeah.
So, I mean, and think about PewDiePie is that, you know, he's not a Twitcher as much. Like he was on YouTube. So he would actually create YouTube shows. Mm-hmm. Which I think is even harder work, and put them on. And he actually has the largest, you know, love him or hate him, the guy has the largest YouTube channel with over 40 million subscribers. Like he brings in like, was it 2 million a year or something insane like that? But he works really, really hard at it, whether you consider it work or not. I mean, I only watched him once and was like, okay, all you're doing is yelling at the screen. But he brought this personality on there that people like, and he's entertaining. So, I mean, just because he's not my thing doesn't mean he's not, obviously, 40 million people's thing.
Yeah. That's it. You know, a lot of people, I've been asked by a fair number of people, you know, what does it take to get started on Twitch? And really, you know, have a PlayStation Eye, the camera thing.
Which I did buy.
Just hit the share button, and you will probably be talking to the screen of nothing for quite a while, but I would say that you have probably 5 to 10 seconds to snag somebody to keep them there. So if you're just playing a game and you're not talking, you're going to lose any hope of having people there. And really, if you're going to start on Twitch, don't go in there hoping to make money, because you're not going to do it. It's not something you're going to do. So just go in it because you want to stream and try it out. But there's been Twitch has come a long way. We now have League of Legends, which to me, I think is probably one of the biggest forces that brought Twitch into where it's at. And then we kind of saw a big growth from there. And it's, you know, Riot started streaming all the LCS stuff on Twitch. And it was really rough at first. There was a lot of hangups and you'd get a lot of lag and all that. But now, you know, right now we have the League of Legends Championship or Worlds I don't know if it's already started or it is starting. I know that it's starting today. I just don't know if they've already started the stream for it. And that will get anywhere between 270,000 concurrent viewers to, you know, 400 plus thousand people watching at the same time. So you got that. You have Capcom Pro Tour. You have NetherRealms. They're streaming some stuff for Mortal Kombat. But, you know, big companies are realizing that, hey, we can put this up there. Advertisers are starting to get in on that because, you know, when League of Legends is going on, you have stupid, like, Coca-Cola commercials and stuff like that going on. And you get them per region. So there's a lot of time. Like, last year, I think it was, I was getting a bunch of ads for something I had no idea what it was because it was in some foreign language. So, but it, you know, so you got that, which is drawing attention to, you know, it brings people in. They want to, like you watched Evo, you know, maybe then you start finding somebody else that you want to watch every once in a while, or you want to, like you said, Prima and all that. I also think it does a lot as far as what people want to buy as far as video games. When Destiny the Taken King came out like 2 weeks ago, a lot of the Destiny community was like, you know, wait for Lyric, who's a really big Twitch streamer, wait for him to start playing it, because, you know, it's going to bring people back. So all of a sudden, people that are following Lyric's channel are going to see him playing, you know, Destiny again. And he'll probably play it for about a week or two, and then he'll be done with it, and he'll move on to the next game. But it draws interest to that game, right? You know, because Lyric has his little fan base, and they're going to watch his channel regardless of what he's streaming. And all of a sudden, you got people going, oh, I've never seen this game. Oh, that looks really interesting. I want to try that game. And, you know, now you got people going, checking out games that they may have just been like, eh, it wasn't my thing, or, you know, I've never heard of this. I want to check it out.
Well, it was because of PewDiePie that Flappy Bird got any of its recognition, because he happened to have it on his show saying that he was frustrated that he couldn't beat his girlfriend's score, and was showing this game and was like, God damn, this game fucking sucks, but I can't stop playing it. And then suddenly that game gets, you know, because it's a free game with ads, and the creator got $56,000 a day in ad revenue. Yep. Just because of what of PewDiePie showing this stupid little game. And then, you know, the clones.
Oh, God. Came up.
I'm not a Twitch person. I do admit that, you know, Twitch is a force to be reckoned with. Like, I will never play Super Mario Maker. That is not my thing. I have no interest in paying $60 for a level editor for a genre of game that I don't care about. But I do enjoy watching my friend Jeff Grubbs streams on it, because he played this one, it was like 2 weeks before the game even came out, where it was like this one level where he lost 99 lives doing this level, and I actually sat and watched him lose 50 of them. And it was mainly because his reaction every time he did. And my favorite one he did was like, he got the furthest he'd ever had and then died his first of a stupid reason. He just went, balls. And I just cracked up. But you know, but it's, even though, like, you know, I didn't see him or anything, but he is talking all the way through it. Like, every time, you know, he would die in this particular spot, he'd be like, really? Really? This is bullshit. And then but he would, you know, keep going. So it was entertaining. And it's been a little fun to see some of the levels that some people have made in Super Mario Maker. Is it enough to get me to buy the game? No, actually, what it's done is confirmed for me, yeah, this game has definitely nothing for me. And despite what my son thinks, it has nothing for him either. So, but I can definitely see how it would, you know, intrigue people into liking the game, because I've actually thought a lot about streaming Mad Max because the game got so much hate on it. I'm like, no, I'm having so much fun. But then the more I thought about it, it's like, does anyone really want to watch me drive around and harpoon people out of cars for 2 hours? And maybe the answer is yes, but to me, that doesn't seem exciting. So it's...
You know, I've watched what swayed me on Mad Max and made it so that way I wanted to play it was not only you, but I watched like two streamers play it and have a great time with it. So, So yeah, there are people that would technically sit here and watch for 2 hours you drive around harpooning people out of cars.
I mean, that's really, like, last time I played, that is what I did for 2 hours. I mean, yes, I was doing other little, it's amazing, side questing. I was basically going around this one region and clearing out the region, but it was literally 2 hours of me chasing down cars and harpooning people, because I wouldn't even get out of my car. I came up onto an encampment. I would just immediately, like, ride up. As soon as I saw people highlighted on my harpoons, like, yank, back it up, go forward, yank. I just kept doing it over and over again because it doesn't get old to me. But I guess that's my hang up on streaming, is that because I'm not into streaming, watching people, I don't know what I could bring that would be interesting. And also, I don't want to be one of those, because there's so many, again, there are so many streamers now. You know, it's kind of like, I kind of see the thing with streaming and Twitch almost like the blogosphere when that exploded in the early aughts. You know, people started doing blogs. Then, you know, Blogspot and TypePad and all that came out to make it easier. And then a few people came up with some crazy ideas, such as the chick from Julie and Julia. And one of the very first mommy bloggers, I think her name was like Deuce or something like that, came up with, you know, these ideas. And they're able to quit their jobs to do just this, because they kept bringing money. And so then what happened? You have, like, suddenly 5 million bloggers overnight who are trying to do the same thing.
Yep.
And I'm still trying to do that.
And some people will make it, and other people just do it because it's a I have a friend that streams, and he maybe at the most gets 5 people to watch, but you know, it's a way to interact with him. Yeah, there's a little bit of a delay. You have like a 5 or 10 second delay or something like that, 3 second. Anyway, there's a delay. But when I'm living in Iowa and he's living in Michigan, actually now he's living in New Hampshire, you know, it's kind of like the virtual couch for us now, where we're both sitting there, you know, playing. I'm not really playing a game, but I always sat around and watched my friends play games. So it's kind of like that virtual couch. So we're talking, you know, we're discussing whatever at the time, and then he's playing a game. So I can talk crap to him. The other thing about Twitch that is really changing the face of the video game culture, and we're coming up to one of these such events, is the charity streams. So Extra Life is coming up, and you'll see a bunch of people start streaming. And in fact, I think the D&D crew has already done like a 24-hour 5e sit down and play. You got things like Amazing Games Done Quick, where they raised a lot of money just by playing games. I think that one goes on for like a week straight. And they raise a couple $100,000, and I forget what charity they donate that to, but you get to watch a bunch of speedrunners do that thing. In November, we're going to see a bunch of people jumping on Twitch to do Extra Life stuff, and that brings in more money. Usually some of these places will do things like they'll have giveaways every so often. Some of their incentives is like, you can tell us what to play. I think we've kind of done that. I think we've tried that once. You know, we did it for when Games of Evil was around. We did that whole streaming thing. We brought Carrie in via Skype and streamed all that. But it's a great way to bring, you know, attention to charities. It helps raise money for charities. And you kind of see kind of what Child's Play did way back in the day. It, you know, it's still a thing, but I think we're seeing a lot more people kind of take to Twitch and just donating a lot of money via Twitch in streams. So I think that's pretty great too.
Yeah, I've been asked by a couple of readers to make sure that I am going to stream for Extra Life, which I'm just like, well, shit, I guess I better figure this out, because, you know, Jen and I are both going to be here and we're not going to be playing on the same system. So I'm not really sure entirely how I'm going to do it. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, you know, because then we're going to leave for, you know, a few hours to go get, you know, our gaming tattoos. And but so yes, yeah, so I may have to play around with that before, but I figure, oh, I got a month. But I know I'll say that, oh, I have about a month to figure this out, and then like 2 days before, be like, fuck.
Yeah, well, at least on the PlayStation 4, you can just hit that share button. It's pretty
well, and I think there is now Twitch support on the Xbox One, so there is that. I just hope I won't be able to play anything on the Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 because I don't have one of those Elgato.
Yeah, the capture cards.
Yeah, I don't have one of those. I've been looking at one because I've been thinking, like, what if I want to stream on the Wii U sometime? Well, I'm going to have one of those for that. But that and YouTube Gaming requires one.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think what PlayStation 4 with their 3.0 update, they now have a direct into the YouTube gaming, but the Xbox doesn't have that. And if you want to like start streaming on the YouTube gaming, when you set it up that way, it looks for a capture card to set it up. So, because I was researching into that, I was like, maybe I'd rather do that instead of Twitch. I was like, well, then I'm like, oh, I need to get more equipment, and so I'll just, you know, do Twitch for right now, because I honestly don't want to invest in a whole lot of money at this point, you know, kind of like with this podcast. We are doing this for fun. If we decide that we want to get, you know, hardcore about it, maybe we'll invest money in the future for more stuff. But for right now, we are doing this for fun. And that's what I would want to do streaming. I would not want streaming to be, I must make money and I'm going to invest all this money to make all this awesome. And I think that's what happens with blogs too. Like you did with your photography, you started it out because it's fun and it makes you happy. When something makes you happy and you share that happiness with others, it'll make others happy, and then you get fans. even if you don't, as long as it makes you happy, who cares? You know, so if I decide I really like streaming, even if I get like 2 visitors, a session, as long as I'm liking it, then what does it matter? The problem is for me personally is that I have to find that thing that I like first and get comfortable with people watching me play, because I am very self-conscious about people watching me play games. Like when my husband comes in, like I'm like instantly nervous and I'm kind of like shaking. I start doing the nervous talk, like, oh yes, I'm doing this, and he's like, okay, that's nice. And like, do you have to watch? Can you go away?
If you do Twitch, there's a possibility of having 5,000 people watch you at one point.
Yeah, I don't know. Not even Loot Crate gets those numbers, not yet anyway. But they're pretty new, and their channel has like really angry moderators. On it. I mean, like, I got banned in like the first 3 seconds, and Amanda was like, no, I know her, it's Carrie, like, unban her, bring her back. And I was like, what the hell? Because I typed something in all caps. Apparently they don't allow that, so they had me silenced. And so then I wrote, well, fuck you guys then, as a joke. And I was almost kicked out, and Amanda's like, she's kidding, like, chill. And like, okay,
that's some God. Really terrible moderators, damn.
Like, they just were coming down with the hammer. Like, I get that, you know, in the gaming culture, we have a lot of angry people. Like, but the stream I was watching the other day, I don't remember what it was, but I had to turn off the chat because I couldn't deal with the stupidity.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing about Twitch chat is that it really depends on the community that the streamer has cultivated. Even the guys that try to do the whole, like, we're just a happy positive thing here and this is what we're gonna do, their chats are usually pretty good, but every once in a while their chat just goes crazy and they get it just turns into stupid. There's also a person I won't mention who, but I don't know if it's an act that they put on, but they just I turn on their stream like for about a half hour because it's one of those train wrecks you just can't stop watching because it is just so bad. They claim that they're like MLG pro level player, and then you watch them and they're not really doing a thing. Their chat is just full of vile and hate, and it's such a mess. But the person is making a living doing it, and I really hope that it's an act, because I'm just like, there's no way you can be this way in real life. It can't be. And that's it, you know, that's the thing, right? Like, when you get on Twitch, you kind of have that personality. You kind of develop a persona.
A character, a persona. I mean, this is honestly, this is who Chris and I are. Like, this is not any type of persona. we are this boring in real life, and we laugh about stupid things in real life.
That's what keeps us happy.
Exactly.
Man, you know, you go to Twitch, they got, I think, like 6 people or 6 channels like that you can do. And now they start doing like a partner highlight spotlight. So every day they choose a new Twitch partner, they put them up on the front page. And now there's a new thing called rating. So a streamer, when they're all done, they're getting ready to leave for the day, they're like, hey, we're going to send all of my viewers over to this channel, and then they usually host them, so there's that. But yeah, man, to think about, you know, I've been watching Twitch, I think, now for 2 or 3 years. It's gotta be 3 years now. I've been watching it and just watching it grow, and you know, yeah, you can have a lot of fun with it. And like I said, the best part to me is when I'm watching friends, it's because I get that whole virtual couch thing. There are times that I watch people just because they're entertaining, like King Athalion, Professor Broman, T-Rex, they're all Destiny streamers, but they're very entertaining, especially at night, because they all start drinking beer at night and then shit gets real. But then there's, you know, I'll watch PR Balrog whenever he streams, because he's a Street Fighter player, so I'll watch him. I'll watch Brian Wong, EGJ Wong or whatever, you know, I'll watch him play because he does all kinds of things. There's True Talent, who plays a lot of Mortal Kombat, And those are people that they're entertaining, but I'm also like, they make learning a lot of fun because you can, they'll start talking, you know, they'll have their general talk, blah, 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 blah. And then every once in a while, they'll be like, oh, yeah. So here's how this combo works, because you have this X amount of frames to cancel this and you do this. And I was like, oh, well, okay. So that's how that works. You know, and the same thing with the StarCraft II. There's a couple people that I'll watch on that and just pick up a little bit of tips and tricks here and there. So, you know, it's Twitch has become your virtual couch. It's become your game facts. It's become your strategy guide. It's become your cheat code central. If you're a speedrunner, good Lord, there's so many people that speedrun so many games that you can, you know, you'll watch somebody try to develop a new strategy to shave off like a tenth of a second. And you're just like, okay, yeah, that's cool. I don't even know if my fingers can move that fast anymore.
I do enjoy watching speedruns.
Oh, those guys are, the way that they can break a game.
Well, like, I watched a speed run of Metroid, the original Metroid. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was something insane, like 20 minutes, the entire game. I was like, I don't think I ever got through the entire game. And yeah, it was crazy.
The next time Amazing Games Done Quick appears, they just did their summer one, so they should have a fall one coming up here shortly. I'll send you a link to it or remind you of it, because there are people that will speedrun, and they do all kinds of different types of speedruns too. It's you know, like 100, like completely complete the game, and they do it in like an hour, or they'll do like an any percent run, which means that they basically beat the game in 20 seconds. So it's and the games that they choose to play and just run through real fast. I mean, it's right. Everything from Final Fantasy to freaking like Contra.
And you know, you talk about the impact on video game culture. Like, you know, not only does it influence, you know, buying or not buying a game, but it also has influenced a little bit game development. Because I remember at San Diego Comic Con and interviewing the lead developer behind the Mega Man collection. Mm-hmm. That just came out, and he's talking about how he brought it over, but they have like that whole new section where it's like challenges where mm-hmm. they put you in different parts and you're trying to get through it as fast as possible. He said that was inspired from speedrunners.
I could definitely see it, because I was watching when the Mega Man collection first came out. I was watching there's a couple streamers that are like, that's all they do is Mega Man games, and they were taking on those challenges and streaming that. There's another guy that, you know, he's a big Nintendo fan, so that's where I got to see a lot of Splatoon. I've seen a lot of Mario Maker off of him, just because that's what he's streaming, and he'll stream those games for, you know, weeks at a time. So just, yeah, it's crazy how streaming is starting to go into, oh, we should probably consider this in our development as well.
I mean, I'm even seeing it like in review copy requests. Like they're like, you must tell us if you are a YouTuber or a streamer, when you're going to have the streams. Because like, well, I'll not have embargo dates for here's when the review can go up. Here's the streaming embargo date. Here's what you cannot show in your stream. Here's what you cannot mention in your review. You know, things like that. And when I say these things, don't start doing the outcry of, oh, they're telling you what you can say. Those are always about spoilers.
Yeah,
they don't want you to spoil stuff. They don't want you to reveal stuff that's, you know, spoilertastic to the game.
Oh, not to keep doing the Destiny thing, but Bungie actually brought out streamers over the past when House of Wolves was coming out, when The Taken King was coming out. Bungie actually flew streamers out there to do reveals of certain portions of the game. You know, so they would bring, you know, they knew that there's one PvP guy that was really good. So they brought him out to unveil some of the new PvP modes. And there are some people that are really good at doing some of the raid type stuff. So they would bring out one or two people and show off that. You know, you see that it goes up on their channel. Then you have a bunch of the people, you know, then hosting all of that as well. So, you know, companies starting to do that, you're going to start seeing a little bit more interest in, you know, what happens if Square Enix were to fly you out. Let's say that you're a big streamer and Square Enix is like, hey, look, we want to fly you out for a day. You're going to unveil this portion of the game, have fun. But then you get to sit behind, you know, after the stream is done, you get to sit there and they're like, have fun, play with it, ask us questions, but you're not allowed to talk about it. You know, that's, I can see that becoming a much more common thing as companies kind of grasp that.
Well, it's no different from press events as well. I mean, Bungie Activision, they had a big press weekend event 2 weeks before Destiny was released. And I know people who were there and they could not say they were there or talk about what they saw until a certain embargo date. And that's just the reality of, right, of how this is.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's all about keeping the hype. So.
Well, that, and they just don't want leaks. They don't want spoilers. They don't want people. They also don't want people saying, oh, I was treated out to this, you know, you're bringing on more of the Gamergate collusion. Well, I hate to tell you this, Gamergate, like that happens with everything. You think that movie critics aren't flown out to stuff, you know, flown out to events and get to hobnob with celebrities. It happens. It's just, that is, it is what it is. There's no real collusion going on. There's no exchange of bribes. I mean, is it pretty cool when you get invited to one of those events and you get treated for a weekend or a day or whatever? Yes, it is pretty darn cool. But if you are any critic worth a lick of salt, you do not take that into account when writing or streaming or, you know, criticizing what you are doing.
Oh yeah. And the guys that I've seen, they're always like, I'm going to tell you the way that I think about the game, regardless of, you know, even if Bungie flies me out again. This is, well, I'm gonna be straight up with you about what I think. And they have been very straight up. They got, you know, they started ripping on things like Prison of Elders and how boring it got after the first couple weeks and all that other jazz. But, you know, and Bungie, I got to give it to them. They sent out, I think, 4 PS4s to 4 of the big Destiny streamers that were all signed for giveaways. So I thought that was pretty cool too, you know, Destiny kind of, or Bungie kind of giving back to the community that's, you know, helping them along. So, But I could definitely see this happening a lot more with a lot of other games, like Call of Duty. If there's a couple, I don't follow Call of Duty, but you know, if there's a couple big streamers in the Call of Duty, I could see Activision being like, hey, come on out. Let's show this off.
Right.
Because World of Warcraft, I don't even know how it's still like a big stream, but you know, Blizzard flying, you know, some big raiding guilds out and being like, here's the next expansion, tackle this boss, show off the game. You know, and people got to realize that when companies do this, yeah, they're kind of paying back because these people are helping, you know, boost sales and bring attention to these games, but they're doing it because they realize that this is like free advertising for them.
Exactly.
It's dirt cheap to fly somebody out, give them some food, put them up in a hotel room for a night to bring in, you know, when Bungie did theirs, between the like five people that I saw, they had over 500,000 people watching these streams. So, you know, that's a lot of eyes that really you're what, $1,000, maybe $1,500 to fly somebody out, give them some food, put them up in a hotel, and then to be like, go home and talk
for
about
potentially selling $40 for a $40 expansion pack.
Yep. So, I mean, this is, we got to just come to terms with the fact that this is probably going to happen a lot more because companies are starting to finally go, this is a thing that we have to start paying attention to.
It's the new, you know, video game blog. I mean, that's just, yeah, a fact of what it is. It's just, it's a new form. You know, it's like, you know, the newspaper turning into a, you know, the radio show or the TV show. It's just constantly evolving.
So, yeah. God bless Twitch. It's brought me many hours of entertainment.
And several other people. Whether they are streaming or they are watching streams.
So, now that we've tackled Twitch, Carrie, what have you been playing?
You been playing anything?
I played some Destiny.
And so then I figured I went your list hunting. Is shorter than mine.
Well, let's see. I played Destiny. I played that last night with my brothers, trying to help one of my brothers get his exotic sword. And then I played the Unicorn Hunting Simulator out in Colorado. That was pretty fun.
Which, for those who don't know, it meant he was trying to find some awesome photography shots.
Shots, yeah. So I also got a kick-ass text from you saying that I have a copy of Lego Dimensions. And while I was in Nebraska,
For me being stupid is what it is. Anyway.
Well, I was in Nebraska, and I was in Walmart, and I saw all these Lego Dimensions character packs, and I was like, I could just buy this and this and this, but I don't have the game yet. So I was like, save your money. You could use that to buy blown hookers at this current moment. So those are the two games that I played. Carrie, let's go through your list.
We'll see. Last night was Halo night, because it's Halo night and the mood is right. It was Halo night. So Drew and I played Halo, and we finished Halo 2 last night. It was the very first time he's ever done Halo 2. And so I have kept very quiet about what is going on with it. Because he knew the ending was sudden, but he didn't know exactly how it plays out. And even though I had recently played Halo 2 and I reviewed Master Chief Collection back in, was it last October, last November? So I mean, it's still fairly fresh on my mind. Like, we get to some of the end levels, and I'm like, oh, I remember this shit. Oh, I remember this crap. And we get to like that big fight with Tartarus. I was like, oh, I remember this pain in the ass. This is going to be easier with two of us, because I can distract him, or you can distract him. Other person goes from behind and deals with that. Well, halfway through that point, like with the fight with Tartarus, suddenly it went to white and the cutscene happened. I was like, did you kill him? He's like, I thought you killed him. I'm like, I don't remember what happens, but I don't think we kill him until Halo 3. He goes, really? Why is that? I'm like, nothing. And he's played Halo 3, but you know, it's been years, so he doesn't entirely remember. So and even I'm like, this isn't the end, right? There's no way this is over yet, because I think there was this and this and this that happens. Immediately we see Master Chief on the Covenant ship coming into Earth space, and Lord Hood gets on the intercom. He goes, Master Chief, what are you doing here? And I start going like that, and Drew's like, what? And Master Chief goes, finishing the fight. And then it goes to black, and Drew goes, wait, what? They did what? Oh my god! And then he just started cracking up, because he knows as well as I do, like, if he saw that way back then, he would have been livid. So he's laughing at everyone's reactions to it. Like, yes, I would have been so pissed back then if that's what I got. But he never played Halo 2 before, because he was on an anti-Xbox tired back then. So he's only ever played Halo, the original, on the PC. So when we played it on console, that was his first time playing it on console. And we're playing Halo 2. And so now we're going to play Halo 3 ODST together, because he's never played that either. And I told him that playing that co-op is the only way I will play that one again. And some people say it's the best or whatever, and there's a lot of unique things about ODST, but I did not like playing a regular human who has to fight against so many brutes with giant hammers. It was not a pleasant time for me. I did like the fact that whenever I came across hunters, I could just, you know, back up and go, nope, 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 and find another way to go around them and just leave. Because, I was going to go after them as a human. You kidding me? No. It's hard enough as a Spartan. But although Drew did do the same thing that I did in Halo 2, when you're playing as the Arbiter, when the Great Schism happens, and I wanted to see if he would do the same thing that I did, so I kind of let him go to this doorway first. So he went to this doorway, and all of a sudden he goes, oh God, hunters! Because there's two of us standing right there when you open up the door. I'm like, no, it's cool, man. And then the captain saying, they're on our side. They joined with us, which was the exact same thing that I did. I open the door, I see him. I'm like, back up. Nope, training. Let's go. Oh, wait, they're on our side? Awesome. You guys, go ahead. And it is awesome when hunters are on your side, watching them go through an area. It's like, ah, it's so cool watching the fuel rod cannons work when it's not against you. They're not coming at your face. So if Halo's a good time, even though last week we had a horrific time with the co-op. I don't understand why this game is still broken. Last night it took us 20 minutes to try to connect because there's still some issues. It doesn't make any sense. It's frustrating. It's stupid. 343, you're making me nervous about Halo 5. That's all I can say. So then for review, I played Book of Unwritten Tales 2. This is a game that it released early this year on PC, and everyone's like, oh, it's such a great, huge point-and-click adventure. It's been so much fun. It's really funny. I was like, oh, that sounds great. So I got put in my Steam wish list. It went on Steam sale. I bought it and then forgot about it because that's what you do. And then I got an email in my inbox saying that it got ported over to PS4. Here's your review code. I was like, oh, well, I'll try it out. Okay, so this is exactly why not every PC game should be ported to console. The game it's not unplayable because I had a friend who actually got further than I did, but I got to one mission where I could not do it on the PS4. And the reason why is because basically you're playing as this gnome and he has to go light a fire in this one room. Well, he can't do it in that room. He has to be two rooms over to, you know, has to light a fire with a piece of paper and get over to two rooms fast enough. If he stops at all, the fire reaches his fingers, burns his hands, you have to start all over. Well, since you have to physically walk him with the analog stick and then use the right analog stick to try to find the control to get through the door like you would like with a mouse. And then he does this little animation when he comes in through the next room. So you have to time it when he walks into a room to immediately activate movement. Otherwise, he burns his hand, you start all over. I tried this for 30 minutes. And it's like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. So then I went to PC, got the game up to that point, because it's really easy to get through a point-and-click adventure quickly when you know the answers to puzzles. And I got to that point, and with the PC, you know how you leave rooms? You double-click on the door. So there was never any issue to get them through the doors. It was double-click, double-click, double-click. And I was done. So like, okay, this is bad control design. This should never have been ported over. And it doesn't help that the fact that this game is boring and mundane, and it uses humor to cover how mundane it is.
Ouch.
Like, for example, the first chapter that you do, I'm not counting the prologue, but the first chapter, you're trying to get this elf princess to make a potion. Second chapter, you're getting the gnome to clean a hall. I am not lying. He is cleaning a hall. Then the third chapter, you are sobering up a guy. Then the fourth chapter, you go back to the gnome who has to clean another hall. I am not lying.
Wow.
I'm simplifying it a little bit, but that is what you're doing. And this is probably the first game that I have literally fallen asleep playing. And I mean falling asleep as in I woke up because my head pitched forward.
That's sad.
So this was the lowest score I've ever given a game. I gave it a 4 on the PS4. If I'd played it on the PC, so the PS4, I would have given it a 6. Because the PS4 got lower because I had to finish the game on PC. And as soon as that review got published, I deleted the game off my PS4. I don't want any part of it.
Yeehaw, that hurts.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love point-and-click adventures, but, seriously, like, not every game can be ported from PC to console. I don't think real-time strategy games work. I don't think every point-and-click adventure works. Yeah. So, and I played Broken Age on PC and I played it on Vita, but you know why it worked on Vita? Because I had the goddamn touchscreen. I can't imagine trying to play that on PS4. Yeah. It might be not as bad as this one, though, because there was never any super hard-timed things that you had to go through. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty, like, you can walk here, you can walk here, you can walk here. But regardless, this one was not like that. Anyway, enough on that. So I've also been playing some Lego Dimensions.
Yay.
Which I'm mixed. I'm very mixed about it. And I'm mixed about it because I got the realization, and I don't have this confirmed yet, although their support has not gotten back to me, so I think that I am correct. You cannot get a platinum trophy in this game without buying a good majority of the expansion packs.
Oh. Boo.
Because I think that's correct. because, you know, like with typical Lego games, you know, you go through the story and then you go through free play because you've unlocked more characters, so you have different abilities. Mm-hmm. From what it looks like, you can only get those characters and their abilities with the expansion packs, which are the actual physical characters. Now, maybe that's not true. Maybe when I do complete the game, you are able to unlock certain characters, but the way that looks right now, because it'll pop up like, you want to see the list of characters or vehicles that can do this, and then so it'll show you the different expansion or fun packs that can do different things. So this may be the first Lego game I don't try to platinum on, because there are some expansion packs I have no interest in buying.
Wow.
So, and the expansion packs are $30 a piece. So, and the weird thing is, because I was like, well, maybe the Skylanders games are like that too. So I pulled up the list of trophies for Skylanders Trap Team. It's not that way at all. It is getting through the game, like, you know, getting through each chapter, you get a trophy. Doing certain random things in each chapter, you get a trophy, which are not additional Skylanders prohibitive. Beating it on Nightmare level. And I think that's it on that one. Oh, and doing a couple of other goofy little things, but none of it requires buying extra Skylanders.
It sounds like a terrible cash grab at the current moment.
Yeah, so I'm not pleased with that, but I'm going to wait till I finish the story mode before I get to that. I mean, other than that, like it's your typical Lego game. It's really fun how it does break the multiverse, because you start off with Wildstyle from the Lego Movie. Lego Batman from Lego DC, the DC Batman, who does run into Batman from the Lego Movie, and I actually made a video clip of that meeting because it's hilarious. Put on the Action Trip YouTube channel. And Gandalf. And so you have the three of them going through. Like, you can bring in other characters, obviously, because I did buy two expansion packs. I got the Portal one because I have to, and Back to the Future. So I have brought in, like, those two every now and then, and just kind of going through the world. So I'm trying to get through this, as much of the story as I can, so I can see how the free play part works. I mean, it's one of those, like, learn different abilities as you go on, but it seems like you can only get those from character packs. So it's, yeah, I'm trying to figure that out. But the cool thing, like, you know, you get to upgrade but there's like upgrade elements where you can upgrade the characters and upgrade the vehicles, so that the vehicles kind of have like three different upgrades where they actually will change shape. You have to, you know, the instruction booklet and have you piece it together and everything. I will warn you that there's no instruction booklets when you get the game. So
yes, I saw that.
I spent an hour not playing the game, but building this. It's still plugged in. It took me about an hour to build that, plus the little Batmobile that had no instruction booklet. So, see. Which, yes, you can take it off of its pedestal and actually use it as a toy.
Oh, Lego.
Yeah, so like I unpacked, like, you know, the Back to the Future and Portal ones and opened up. It's like, oh, the instruction booklet. Instruction booklet says, please see the in-game tutorial for how to put this together. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, but I saw your tweet, and then Lego at least responded back saying that they were going to put up instructions on Lego.
Yeah, because they've been having a lot of complaints, and rightfully so, because some people, you want to get it, you want to put it together immediately, so you don't have to, like, sit there. I mean, I did not enjoy sitting there for an hour putting this thing together before I could play.
Yeah, that'd be a quandary for me, because, like, I enjoy putting stuff together, but then having, like, if it's part of a game, I kind of want to just, like, put it together over lunch and then play the game at night. So
exactly, that's what I was planning on doing, was, you know, putting it together before I started to play, but, you know, I only had like 2 or 3 hours to play, and I had to spend an hour of it, of that set time, putting it together. But so far, like, it's really well done. It's really humorous. The way that they use the actual portal itself for gameplay is both infuriating and genius. just like I had to get a second card table to put next to my, put next to me so that I can easily access. I got tired of like walking over to my TV because you have to use it constantly to move the character, because where you put the characters on the portal affects puzzle play. So you have to constantly move them around, and which makes me realize it's too complicated, I think, for my son. That, and I'm pretty sure he would do nothing but take everything apart and put it with his other Lego pieces and then can't find anything. And so that's why he's not getting his own copy, and he's not allowed to play with mine unless I'm in the room. So, but yeah, I have your box because I'm stupid, and because I already have another box I need to mail you, so I'm just going to put them all together. I was just waiting until you got back from Colorado before I shipped all this stuff.
Yay.
Yeah, so that's all I got. And I mean, I want to get back to Mad Max, but October is coming up, and I just finally finished the review schedule for October, and goddamn, so much is coming out in October.
Busy, busy.
Mm-hmm. So right. I guess that's it. Let's wrap this up, because I got to get back to work, and I'm kind of hungry, actually.
Well, then, take us home.
So you can leave us a comment on this post if there's anything in particular you want to talk about or ask about. I know we haven't had very many strategy guides lately. We just posted the one from Metal Gear Solid 5 that Brad posted, and we're not reviewing the Skylanders Superchargers guide because I'm personally done with Skylanders, and I didn't really ask anybody else on the team to invest more money into Skylanders. I think that franchise is done. So my son's probably going to get it, but not for Christmas. So no, we're not reviewing that guide. And I don't think there's another guide coming out that we're going to review until Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Maybe Tales of Zestiria, because I know that you wanted to review that one. So maybe, I don't know. I haven't heard very much on that. That could have been canceled. The State of Strategy Guides is actually very, very weird right now. So, yeah, I know we haven't had very much, but, we do what we can. You can also email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. You can follow us at Twitter. Chris is at Starvin. I am at Crunchy Chocobo, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. And even though we don't have much strategy guide stuff, we still have plenty of content going up there almost daily. So read strategyguidereviews.com every day.
That good? You good?
Yeah.
All right, and with that, this is us saying, I'm going to go take a nap now. Peace!